Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, I'd like to invite you to stay with me. It will be 30 minutes of motivation, some inspiration, some education, all done with no manipulation. That's right. Let me get that mouse out of my throat. 30 minutes of motivation, inspiration, education, all done with no manipulation. That's what The Flatline is about, teaching God's Word. Not playing games, not trying to hustle anyone, not trying to sell you anything. Just give you information. And we pray that information will verify and identify the plan of God for your life. And if that's true, you always have the freedom and the privacy to orient and adjust to the plan. That's really up to you. My job is to make it clear, make it plain, so at least you know what your options are. We started a brief study last week when I was with you, dealing with discontent, decline, and destruction in America. And we gave you some information, and we wound up with a verse that I thought was pertinent, something that I felt like we ought to take a look at. It was in Proverbs 16:20, and it said, "He that handles a matter wisely shall find good, and whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he." You know, on this show, we try to go back to the original languages and highlight some of these words and explain to you what they meant in their time. Doing the etymology of the word study, we find that handle a matter means that there's, the Hebrew word actually is dabar, and it means that there's something that you must do, something you must think or say, some action that is required. When you have a matter to handle, and I'm not just talking about paying a bill, maybe it's a family matter, maybe it's a spiritual matter, maybe it's a physical matter, but when you have a matter to handle, you can handle it one or two ways. You can handle it wisely, or you can handle it stupidly. It's really up to you. If you handle it wisely, then you will seek counsel, and that counsel comes from Scripture. The counsel of Scripture is what you want. And what the devil wants, or is trying to do, is to eliminate any scriptural counseling in our society today. And so what we wind up with is a society that doesn't have any divine viewpoint. What we wind up operating on as an American society is human viewpoint. In other words, forget what the Bible says. What does Dr. So-and-so say about this matter? Or what does the Supreme Court say about the matter? In other words, if you can eliminate divine viewpoint from the public arena, you basically have the blind leading the blind down the trail, and both are going to fall off. Because any decision that we make in life has to be governed by the Scriptures. And human viewpoint is not the Scriptures. And so the Bible is clear. If you can handle a matter wisely, the Hebrew word sakah means to be prudent, or to have comprehension of the subject. In other words, to make a prudent decision based on the facts and to do it correctly, practically, exercise good judgment, be cautious, be judicious. That's what it means. See, we're not born with wisdom. We don't inherit it from birth. You may have had the smartest parents in the world and be the dumbest joker that ever came down the pipe. What is wisdom? Wisdom must be acquired. Therefore, Proverbs 2:10 says, "When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, then discretion will guard you." Guard you from what? Basically, guard you from yourself and making a dumb decision. So discretion will guard you, and in continuing Proverbs 2:10, understanding will keep you or maintain you. I call this the Fantastic Four: wisdom, knowledge, discretion, and understanding. And I told you, I'm pretty sure we mentioned this last week, there's a distinct difference between knowing God and understanding God as per Jeremiah 9:24. And therefore I said that the Christian life is a supernatural life. And you've got to have the supernatural power of God the Holy Spirit and God's Word if you're going to make those correct decisions in your life. Every decision must be based on either human wisdom, human intuition, or some sort of biblical insight. So, the difference amounts to human good or divine good at the judgment seat of Christ. You see, the Bible says at the judgment seat of Christ in 1 Corinthians 3 that we're going to be evaluated. Now, this is not your sins. Your sins have all been paid for. Don't make that mistake. Don't think anyone's going to sit there and that God the Father is going to roll a movie projector and we're all going to watch your sins eating popcorn and laughing. That's not what it's saying. What is evaluated is your production. Your divine good production is evaluated in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 through 16. Some of it is called wood and hay and stubble or sticks. And the other part of it is called gold and silver and precious stones or jewels. So basically what the metaphor is saying is this. As a believer in Jesus Christ, when you get to the judgment seat of Christ and you are evaluated, you want to hear him say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." That's what you want. But you may find that you're not going to have that. You may find that since you did all the right things, you went to church and you tithed and you sang in the choir and you took your mission trips and you helped the poor and you fed the hungry and etc., but you did them in the wrong way, which meant no filling of the Holy Spirit and no divine viewpoint. So what you wound up accumulating, and you thought you were doing good, is you wound up accumulating wood, hay, and stubble. And it's all burned up at the judgment seat of Christ. Yes, you're saved. Yes, you go to heaven. You do not lose your eternal life. But you will be minus rewards. Because why? You did all the right things, but you did them in the wrong way. You did not follow the protocol plan of God. We have made this clear over and over and over again. You cannot operate in the Christian life under your own power. There must be the filling of the Holy Spirit. And anything you do outside the filling of the Holy Spirit is nothing but human good. An unbeliever could do it. And so unbelievers can go to church. Unbelievers can put money in the offering plate. Unbelievers can sing in the choir. They might not want to, but they could. Unbelievers can be moral. That doesn't mean you're a great Christian because you did those things, unless you do them following the protocol plan of God. That's why I've told you so many times that a right thing must be done in a right way or it's wrong. And again, listen to this verse. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So if you're trying to pray and there's unconfessed sin in your life, you're not going to get answered. And I know you're saying, "Well, I can't keep up with all of my sins." Well, I didn't know you had that many. The Bible says if we will confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to purify us from all of our, the Greek word here is adikia, all of our wrongdoing. See, sure, we don't remember every sin we did, but when we're faithful to be quick to name any known sin to God, this is what allows the Holy Spirit to maintain control of our life. This is how we walk in the Spirit. This is how we live the Christian life. But if we allow sin to fester, in other words, we sin and we don't deal with it, then we are carnal Christians. We're in the energy of the flesh, and in the energy of the flesh, you can go to church. You can pray. I mean, the pastor could call on Deacon Smith to stand up on Sunday morning and give a glowing prayer. But if Deacon Smith has unconfessed sin in his life, even though it may sound wonderful to the congregation, that prayer is not going to go any higher than the ceiling. Why? He's doing the right thing, praying, but he's doing it in the wrong way. Not under the power and the filling of the Holy Spirit, but under the energy and the power of the flesh. Boy, is that not an eye-opening statement? So, do you want to have a lot of human good at the judgment seat of Christ? Or do you want to show up and hear that, "Well done, my good and faithful servant"? This is why I encourage you, get under the ministry of a well-qualified pastor. Find someone that you can learn under, someone that can teach you something, not someone that can guide you on a, like a cruise ship and show you where all the local Christian entertainment is. You don't need that. You can entertain your own self. But you do need a well-qualified pastor to teach you God's Word on a consistent basis so you can learn it and apply it into your life. So the difference between a mature believer and a believer that's not so mature comes down to making decisions. Because you know what's going to happen? The immature believer is going to simply guess at it. He's going to guess what is God's will for his life. And he's going to come up with some statement, like I've heard this one before. They're going to say, well, I prayed about it. That's usually a dead giveaway. This person doesn't have a clue how to definitely tell what is God's will for his life. If you have a problem with that and you'd like to know, write to me. We've got a book we can send you free of charge, no charge ever. We won't ever send you anything else. But it'll simply tell you how to determine God's will for your life. One of my friends wrote it, who's been a pastor. He's now gone to be with the Lord. But this book is still available, and we can make it available to you. It's called Divine Guidance. Now, the immature believer, the one that hasn't grown in the grace and the knowledge of his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, he's going to be impetuous like that. He's going to be anxious and judgmental. And he's going to be minus any impersonal love assets. Impersonal love, have you not heard that term before? Impersonal love is part of the problem-solving package. It's problem-solving device number 8. It's you being able to love an unlovely person. Maybe a W.O.J. in your neighborhood. W.O.J., you don't know what that is? That's short for a weird, obnoxious jerk. Yeah, you may have one of them in your neighborhood, and the Bible says you're supposed to love this guy. How can you love a W.O.J.? Well, you can love him with impersonal love. Was that not you, the W.O.J., that God loved in John 3:16? God so loved the world. You were a part of the world. You were a W.O.J. at one time, weren't you? An unbeliever lost in your sin, and God loved you. And he didn't love you based on personal love because you're not a member of his royal family. He loved you based on impersonal love, which meant that he loved you based on his character, not yours. It's an amazing thing when you learn these doctrines, when you learn these problem-solving devices that make up the flat line in your soul, how much easier it is to live life. See, living the Christian life is an easy life. All the monkey has been taken off of your back. God can handle everything. His Word lays it out for you. It's when you ignore it that you make yourself miserable. The mature believer, the guy that is learning God's Word consistently, and I might say applying God's Word consistently as well, he's going to be a lot more deliberate. He's going to be very relaxed, and he will use those 10 unique problem-solving devices. And so Proverbs tells us in that passage that we've been looking at that he that handles a matter wisely shall find good, and whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. Shall find good. Well, that means he will secure or get happiness or benefit from it. In other words, there's great benefit to making good decisions based on what the Bible says. Now, obviously, if you handle a matter without wisdom, you're not going to find good. You're going to find trouble. Some of the most trouble you're going to get yourself in is when you open your mouth and begin to malign other people. God doesn't tolerate that. Maybe you need to go back and read Matthew 7:1-7 again. It's called sticking your nose in someone else's business. Never are you allowed to malign another believer. Never are you allowed to judge another believer. And the Bible says with the measure that you measure, it will be measured back to you. So that's why I believe that about 75% of the trouble that we get ourselves into comes from making bad decisions, especially in regards to people, our finances, or even our own health. So make this note to understand this. Impetuous people make impossible decisions. Did you hear that? Impetuous people make impossible decisions. They jump the gun. They can't do it. They think they can. They make a decision. They take something on and they can't handle it. I hope your pastor's taught you a lot about finding and understanding God's will for your life. My pastor's taught me a lot. You see, without grace orientation, without understanding the grace assets God provided for you, and without having a personal sense of destiny in your life, it's possible that you're going to blow right by your exit in life. Maybe you should have got off at exit 12, but instead of getting off at exit 12, you're going to blow right on by. The other day, I took a trip with my wife and a friend, and we were going to a meeting that we had scheduled on the Gulf Coast, and I took a little short nap. I just leaned my head back and fell asleep, and my friend and my wife were talking, and they woke me up, and they said, "We think we missed our exit." I said, "How could you miss the exit?" Well, we were talking, and we wound up driving about 50 miles out of the way because they blew by the exit. Now, I laughed about it. I wasn't upset. No problem. But how about blowing by the exit in your life? Where you should get off, knowing your destination, knowing the determination of what you need to do or not do. That's why the word trust comes in this passage. Did you hear it? He that handles a matter wisely shall find good, and whoever trusts in the Lord, trust in the Lord, will be happy. The cal active participle of that Hebrew word batak means this. It means to be confident. It means to use the faith rest drill. Problem solving device number 3, using the faith rest drill. Trusting God with your life is easy if you've trusted Him with your future already. And you have if you've believed in Jesus Christ and you know you're going to heaven, you've accepted Him as your Savior, then you've trusted God with your future. So in other words, He's already done the greater deed already. Thus, He could do the lesser deed with no problem. That's why the psalmist wrote in Psalm 56:11, "In God I will put my trust." The greater deed is giving you eternal life. The lesser deed is providing for you on a daily basis by means of the filling of the Holy Spirit and by means of the guidance of His Word, following Scripture, learning divine viewpoint. Listen, since God's immutable, and God is absolute veracity, truth, He's not going to lie to you. He's not going to change His mind in regards to you. And that goes for eternal security as well as for the temporal provisions you need to exist in time. So if you can trust, the Bible says you will be happy. Blessed are those who put their trust in Him. Psalm 2:12. Blessed means happiness. Happiness. So you've got two choices. Listen to the principle. You can turn over the logistics of your life to your Heavenly Father, or you can leave the nest like the prodigal son did, and you can find yourself knee-deep in pig poop. That's up to you. That's what happened to him. But in Proverbs 19:20, the Bible says, "Listen to counsel and receive instruction, so that you may be wise in your latter days." What does that mean? It means you can live longer. You don't go broke and belly up. "There are many plans in a man's heart," Proverbs 19:21. "Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel will stand." So what makes you think you can do a better job than God? What makes you think you got this all figured out and you ignore God's word, God's plan? You've fallen victim to your own arrogance. You're not willing to spend the time to study God's Word and learn it. You're not willing to admit your sin to God on a consistent basis. You want to run your neighbor down. You want to run everybody down. You want to act like you're the smartest, wisest, the biggest bully in the block and the most intelligent person in the community. You're kidding yourself. You have unrealistic expectations. And an unrealistic self-image is what you have. If you have an unrealistic self-image, in other words, if you see yourself as something you're not, then you're going to have unrealistic expectations. In other words, you're going to want people to treat you in a way you're not worthy of being treated. And you're going to be in for a surprise when they don't bow down to your way, when they don't submit to your decisions. Therefore, the Bible says a mature believer can easily be defeated if he gets impatient and if he fails to wait on God. That's where mature believers mess up. And maybe this is where you've messed up. Maybe you got impatient in regard to your finances or in regard to your future or your fiancé. You got impatient. But listen to 1 Peter 5, 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you in due time. In due time. My pastor used to tell me that getting into synchronization with God's plan and God's purpose and God's will for your life requires me to master and understand the Word of God. If I'm going to be in synchronization with God, I've got to understand God's plan. If my timing is off, then I'm going to have a problem. Because life without doctrine, life without the Word, life without the Scripture is inevitably a life of bad timing. Bad timing. Oh, you're going to call it bad luck. You're going to be filled with self-pity, even resent other people. But you made the decision. You made the choice. You used your volition to make that decision and to decide. And you did not follow Proverbs 16:20. You didn't handle the matter wisely. So when you have your complaints, oh, maybe you complain about your parents or complain about your birth or your timing's off. Don't ever say, I was born too soon or I was born too late. God starts everybody off at the right time, perfect time. God gave you a perfect start. You might not finish the race. You may run a detour and get sidetracked. But when you complain about anything related to your birth or your environment, you're blaspheming God. Because you're saying God's timing's off. And God doesn't make mistakes. His timing is never off. That's why 1 Peter 5, 6 says this, humble yourselves before God. Just exactly how does this work? What does that humble stuff mean? Means this, number one, that you submit to authority. I was watching one of those reality shows and a person said, no one's going to tell me what to do. I make my own decisions. Well, that's a person that does not respect authority. We have authority. And it starts with your parents. It can be the principal of the school. It can be the police officer of the community. It can be a politician. It can be a pastor. You have authority. And the aorist passive imperative of the Greek word tapainoo means humility, to humble yourself. And it's not God asking you to do it. It's God telling you. The imperative mood of the Greek New Testament is the mood of command. Humble yourselves is a command. Not God asking, he's telling you. Romans 12:3 says this, stop thinking of yourself in terms of arrogance, but think in terms of humility, as God has assigned to each one of us a standard of thinking from his word. You must submit to authority to have humility, and you must obey the mandates of the word of God. There's no instant switch to throw that's going to make you humble. It's a day-by-day decision to submit to the authority of the Word of God and to apply the Word of God into your life. That passive voice in that subject, the aorist passive imperative of tapainoo, it says that the subject is receiving the action. And we receive the action of humility when we faithfully are filled with the Spirit and when we faithfully grow in grace. The imperative mood is the command through the Father, through the Apostle Peter, and thus the need for humility in a coming crisis is critical. Because if you don't have humility, then you will always think in terms of subjectivity, and you will always lack grace orientation. Have you ever been around someone that's filled with self? They are the most obnoxious people in the world. They're smarter than you. They've done everything better than you could do it. They buy everything cheaper than you could buy it. They're always telling you where you messed up in a roundabout way. But they're full of themselves. That's subjectivity. If you want to live God's plan, you must be objective. Stay filled with the Spirit. Learn God's Word. And there's so many other things to say, I can't say them all, but I can tell you this one. Keep your nose out of other people's business. This humility that I'm speaking about is not inherited from your parents. It has to be acquired. And the only way to do it is through the consistent acquisition of God's Word. And I might add, not you taking a Bible and sitting under a tree and reading it. You taking a Bible and a notebook and sitting down and listening to the teaching of God's Word. Whether it's in your church or in your home, around your coffee table or dining room table, listening to an MP3 or watching a DVD or whatever you have to do. Do it so that you can grow. You know, some people want to take yoga, but there's no yoga classes in their area, so they order a yoga DVD and do it at home. You can study the Bible at home. There are many qualified pastors that have information available free of charge if you want it, if you're willing to do it on a daily basis. So I want you to know humility is not inherited. It is acquired through the consistent acquisition of God's Word every day. And when you do that, then you begin to develop the mind of Christ. You begin to have His mentality, motivated by His personal love for the Father. You begin to have His intentionality, demonstrated by obedience to His Father's plan. And that plan included Him emptying Himself of His deity and assuming the role of humanity. A lot more to say, a lot more to cover. I hope you're listening, and I hope you'll stay with me and be back next week. Until then, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Flotline.
Thank you for listening to The Flotline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.